Mark chapter 1. I'm going to stay in Mark all morning today. I still believe the Holy Spirit is not finished with us, and we're going to see, I believe God still do many good things among us before the service is over today. It's been amazing that as I pray about what to speak on this coming weekend as well, what kind of direction to take, I've really led on this series here called Posture to talk about using our authority. And so we've already seen a manifestation of God's authority among us here by the praise and worship going forth. The Bible says when the praise of God is in our mouth, there's also a two-edged sword in our hands. The Bible says to inflict vengeance upon the enemy. Vengeance means everything the devil has taken from us, he has to pay it back to us. Getting back what is rightfully ours is divine kingdom revenge. Amen? And I believe a lot of you guys have already done that. How many folks here can say by a raised hand that God has already broke some things in off your life today already, this morning? There's still some more to be done here. God's not finished yet. God's still working for us. So we're going to let the washing of the water of the Word take place right now in this message here called Using Our Authority. If you can write some things down, perhaps you're ready to do this also in your iPad or on your papers, your bulletins here. It'd be worth doing this as well. Because the thing about today is we need to ask ourselves what comes to our mind when we think about the word authority. When that word authority comes to your mind, what comes to your brain first of all? For some folks, actually kind of a feeling of fear comes on them. They come across a policeman or an authority figure. The first thing that comes, as far as emotions go, is a fearful response. How many times, I sometimes enjoy going down Pecan Street or streets that are very, very fast like this, where they drive very fast, and seeing a policeman show up in the traffic, because when the policeman shows up, all the guilty people start going 5 miles an hour below the speed limit. There's 50 miles an hour out here. They're all going 40 and 45. I can pass all of them with no problem whatsoever because the policeman does not give tickets to people that are obeying the law. Amen? The Bible says the law has no fear for those who actually obey it. And so we see policemen sometimes. What do we do ourselves? Sometimes fear takes place by seeing that. Also, sometimes the word authority may mean to people disgust. It might mean a time to push back because you might have been abused by authority. You might have seen somebody that powered up with their authority and actually abused their authority and used their authority in a very, very aggressive way, a very controlling way, or even a way of manipulation as well, perhaps, that brought some painful things inside your own heart, your own life. Some folks, though, are very grateful for authority because they saw authority figures as being those who poured in their lives, training and equipping and mentoring. And they saw themselves actually advancing and being benefited by the authority figures of professors and teachers and coaches and pastors and so forth in times past. I pray to God today that we're going to see that Jesus Christ, that God is our authority, and he only brings forth a right example of what authority is really all about by his word and by his actions also in our lives. We're going to look this morning here at the book of Mark. It's actually a book about pictures. All throughout the book of Mark, the apostle Mark, who wrote things down by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was writing down parables and pictures of the life of Jesus Christ. He had much to say about the authority that Jesus Christ himself actually also walked in, ministered in, prayed in, and did miracles and signs and wonders by this. There's many three realities also. You might want to write these things down. Three realities about authority. First of all, everybody here has been exposed to abusive authority. All of us somehow, some way, have seen people abuse the authority they have. It may be in a movie theater. It might have been at public school. It might have been in your own household being raised by an abusive parent. But all of us have been exposed to somehow, some way, abusive authority in our lives. Somebody who overstepped and took advantage of their power. Second thing is, there's also those that are here who have actually misused authority themselves. You yourself as a parent or a grandparent have used your authority sometimes to do things to your own children or grandchildren, but you can actually do that because of who you are as an authority figure in your house. You know yourself, you sometimes overstep your own boundaries because of anger, because of frustration, because of impatience. We sometimes will do things to our own kids, our own loved ones, that sometimes kind of goes over the boundaries of what may be really the right thing to do in their lives. Others here have seen themselves saying, I just need a fresh perspective on what this word authority really is all about. So today's really about that. Trying to get a fresh perspective, a fresh balance on the word authority. At the same time, releasing inside of us, I believe, a new faith to use the authority God's placed in us by the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ himself. Everybody here needs this. We're going to look now at how Jesus himself handled authority and then ask ourselves, what about me? How do I handle authority myself also in my life? As a parent, as a boss, as a grandparent, as a leader in this church, ask yourself this morning, how am I handling the authority that God has given to me on this earth to bless people and not curse them, but also to take and exemplify who Jesus Christ himself was and is, who has all authority over all the universe by his power and by his might. Several times it says in the Bible that Jesus Christ came with a new kind of authority. The Bible says when he preached and taught with what? He taught with authority. When he drove out demons, he drove out devils by authority. When he did signs and wonders and miracles and healings, the Bible says, were always done by the authority of the Father that worked through the Son, whose name is Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So authority is something that God's given to his own Son, Jesus Christ, but also he's given that also authority unto you and I, and he wants that authority to be exercised and not become something dormant in our lives, because God has a whole lot of ground he wants to possess in people's lives in these last days, in Jesus' name. Let's read now Mark chapter 1, verse 27, and carry on from this, about using our authority, being postured, having a posture to be able to go out there and use our authority God's given us with God's help. Mark 1:27 says, then they, the disciples, all the people, they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves and said, what is this? What new teaching, what new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. These guys were amazed that finally a person who's a non-Pharisee, a non-Sadducee, a non-religious person is now speaking to demons in people's bodies, and the demons are obeying Jesus Christ's words, and they're coming out many times with a shriek or convulsion, and the person's life is changed and transformed by the power of God. I want to see that more and more today. Don't you? It needs to happen. Let's write down some things here. First thing is, write down, what is authority? What's authority? How do we define that? There's two words in the Greek language, New Testament, when the word authority comes out, that are used in the Bible for the word authority. The first word we've heard before time and again that are charismatics, and that is the word dunamis. We all know the word dynamite comes from the root word, the word dunamis, which means explosive power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you and you shall receive power, dunamis, when that Spirit of God does come on you, and you shall be my witnesses in all the parts of the world. Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, uttermost parts of the world as well. Dunamis is power. But also dunamis means the word authority in the Bible, time and time again. This word dunamis means to have the capacity or the ability to do something, the ability to achieve in the arena of physical, military, or political power as well. This is the power of authority. All those who are filled with the Holy Spirit have the dunamis power of God living in us. Amen? We have authority over the powers of darkness by the Spirit of God that lives in us, and God is saying it's time to rise up and exercise and use that authority to drive out the powers of darkness. The Bible says for this purpose, the Son of God is manifest to destroy the works of the devil. And there's many works Satan's getting by with that God is tired of, and he wants to see those works diminish, and he wants to see his work increase and multiply by his Spirit. Amen? Do you believe that? The second word, New Testament, for the word authority is the word exousia. E-X-U-S-I-A, exousia. Exousia means an unrestrained right or freedom of action. It means this is the position or the office of authority, the right to exert authority. So one means the office of authority, and one means the power of authority. And the two are not the same thing whatsoever. So, we all know scenarios where people had exousia, the office, the position, but they did not have the dunamis. For example, the dunamis. For example, a secretary in a public school. When she comes in there, she has a position of the teacher of the class. But how many folks know that the kids don't listen and don't obey to the secretary, or that substitute who comes in the high school and especially middle school classrooms? I know myself, I had many, many substitutes in my growing up years. I was kind of a little bit of a smart aleck in elementary school especially. I gave the substitutes a really, really hard time because I knew they were in one day, they were out the next. And I could pray to God, please don't let them report to thy teacher when she comes back tomorrow all the things I did in this classroom to make the classroom laugh. I love to make the classroom laugh. And sometimes I go beyond the borders of doing what was right to do that. But I do know that substitute teachers very many times have got that position. They do not have that power to maintain order in that classroom that needs to be there. You might have saw an old, ancient program on TV that was called Mayberry RFD. We had the guy whose name was Don Knotts, who played the sheriff or the deputy there of the town. Then we had Andy Griffith there, of course, as the sheriff. And we see that time and time again, the deputy Don Knotts had the position, but he had no power to maintain order in Mayberry. The folks laughed at him. They scoffed at him. They talked behind his back. They thought it was a great big old joke. So he had the position, but he did not have the power. God is saying to you and I, we have the power and also the position through the name of Jesus Christ himself. Now to flip this thing and reverse this thing, other folks know what it means to have dunamis power, but not have the position or the office to actually walk in the power that God's placed inside of our life. There's a story of a true story about a person who was actually the governor of Massachusetts many years back. His name was Christian Harder. Christian Harder was going through a small town in Massachusetts several years back, and he saw that a church was having kind of a VBS type scenario there, a dinner for the public to come to during the weekday. So he pulls his car off the road. He's very, very hungry, and he goes in the church and gets in the line to be served a free meal by the church. The lady there at the end of the line is only giving out one piece of chicken per person. That's what her orders were. The governor comes to her and says, "Ma'am, I'm very, very hungry. Can I please have two pieces of chicken?" And she goes, "I'm sorry, sir. The rules are one piece of chicken per person." The governor says, "Do you know who I am? I am the governor of this state." She says, "Do you know who I am? I am the ruler over all the chicken. And you get one piece, move on." You see, she had the position, she had the exousia, she knew who she was, but she also exercised her own dunamis with that himself. He had dunamis, but he did not have the exousia, the position, the office of being the chicken person, okay? And so the chicken person has more power there than does the governor of the whole entire state, amen? So God is saying these two words, you're talking about authority, but God wants those two things married together to bring forth divine results also on the face of the earth. Moving on here, Jesus also had both of these without measure. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 says this, "And Jesus came and he spoke to them and he said, all authority," notice that, "all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth." And the good news is, he goes on beyond that and later on says, "And I give that authority now to you. The keys of death and hell and the grave I have taken from the powers of darkness and Satan himself, and I give those keys now back to mankind. And those things you bind on earth are bound in heaven, and those things you loose on earth are now loosed in heaven." We loose some things today. We've bound some things today. And God is not finished yet today in doing work by His Spirit. Amen? So, there's a lot of people who this would take and be dangerous for, though. If they had all authority, they could become very much dictatorial. They could become very much controlling. Most humans, in fact, I say no human can actually contain or responsibly use the authority and the power that Jesus Christ Himself has. That's why God is God and we are not. Because we could not handle the power that God wields and God has. Praise God that God can control and can actually take and be balanced in the power He is and has every second of the universe. Because otherwise, he'd get angry, he'd get vengeful, he'd get wrathful, he'd get all full of all kinds of emotions, and God changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yet he's still all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing, omniscient, omnipotent. God is all things all the time. And he can handle it, he can contain it, he can use it for the glory of the universe, mankind, and his kingdom every day of the earth. Amen. We're going to take a look now at the authority of Jesus Christ and how did Jesus Christ use that authority. So these take-home points this morning here. Number one is this. Write this, please, down. Write down number one. Jesus Christ freed people from bondages. He used authority to set people free from bondages. The first message Jesus Christ preached after 40 days of fasting, receiving the dunamis power of God upon him, on the other side of the wilderness fasting time, he said, I've come to preach deliverance to the captives, to set captives free, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Open up the blind eyes, open up the deaf ears. He's come to take bound people and set them free. Do you realize that God has put this message together today for such a time as this? I am going to take it. I'm going to receive today the releasing of bondages that God wants broken off people's lives before we leave this place today, because God's anointing is here right now in this house to set people free and bring forth beauty out of ashes that only God can do. Can you receive that? Let's look now at the Word of God. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. Mark chapter 1. Let's read verse 21 through 28 here. It says, then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, Jesus enters the synagogue and begins to teach. They were astonished at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean demonic spirit. He cried out, he said, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? But you come to destroy us. I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. But Jesus Christ rebuked him, and he said, be quiet. Come out of him. When the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Praise God. Then they were all amazed, so they questioned among themselves and said, what is this? What new doctrine, what new teaching is this? For with authority, he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. And immediately it says, his fame began to spread throughout all the region around Galilee. We've been listening now for the past 5 weeks on this series called Truly Free. In this series, it talks about how, again, Christians cannot be possessed or owned totally by demons or unclean spirits. But the fact is, this house we have, this body we have, this soul we have that is not our spirit, can sometimes receive in it fish hooks of the enemy's power or the enemy's presence by us giving legal ground to him. The Bible says the devil came to me, but he found no place in me. That means the devil can find place in you somehow, some way, if you give him legal ground for that. And that's why we've been talking here on Wednesday nights about how sometimes unforgiveness brings in an attack or a fishhook of the enemy himself. Sometimes pornography opens up the doors there again for a fishhook, for something there that can bind your life up somehow. Sometimes anger, or sometimes alcohol or drugs or addictions, depressions. Sometimes even a sickness or an illness can come from an attack of the enemy himself, a fishhook he puts in us. And the good news is, no matter what the devil tries to put in us, Jesus Christ has paid the price to remove it from us. He is the divine antidote for anything Satan can do upon the face of the earth. He destroys the powers of darkness even to this day. Amen? So Christians cannot be owned by demons. There's no way your house can be owned by the devil. But he can take a room of your house or a window of your house and open that window up, if you let him, and try to come in that window and try to abide in a place of your home, of your house, and vex you and cause bad things to steal and kill and destroy in your house. And I want to see those windows shut. And I believe already today, this morning, some windows have already been shut. Some doors have been shut already. But I believe God is not totally finished yet. And God is still moving by His Spirit. There are many people in the body of Christ who are bound by something. It could be alcohol today. It could be drugs. It could be sexual addictions. It could be prescription drugs. It could be even things like anger and unforgiveness and bitterness. Whatever may be inside of our lives that attacks us again and again and again, we see it there every day with no total victory over that. Jesus Christ has come to set the captives free. And His Spirit is here this day to bring forth liberty and freedom and deliverance for those who allow Him to do that. And I believe we're in a season right now at Tree of Life Church. We talked about praise and worship a few weeks ago. And I believe some things got released here because of that. And the Bible says time and time again, when God would attack the enemies, He always would send Judah first to worship and praise Him in the beauty of holiness. When they did that, the Bible says God began to set ambushments against the enemy and would cause them to destroy themselves time and time again. I'm saying there's praise and worship already released here in this place. It's already shaken and plowed up some ground from the enemy. And may God now come in behind that. And may God begin to take and plow the ground, remove some rocks, remove some weeds, remove some bad seed, remove some bondages, and set people free even this day in Jesus' name. Amen. God is so good. And God's doing that, and God continues that this day by His Spirit. The good news is, again, that Christ Himself has set man free from every bondage. If you get prayed for today and you see a bondage broken off of your life, I encourage you, find one or two brothers or sisters, mature believers in this place, in the body of Christ, that you can take and be with them beyond this service and say, brother or sister, I have sensed that God has broken this thing off my life. Will you be available for me to call you or spend time with you to walk me through this thing, perhaps, that I know I'm truly being set free in Jesus' name? You know, some folks need things like Celebrate Recovery. They need sometimes some ongoing counseling. But I do know that little by little, sometimes God helps us repossess the land the enemy had taken from us. That's only He can do. Number two, write this down. Number two, how did Jesus use authority? He used it also to forgive people of past failures. To forgive people of past failures. Look now at Mark chapter 2. We're going to read here in a moment in verse 5. This story is about a man who was paralyzed, I think from birth. The house that Christ or Jesus Christ was at this moment in this time of Mark chapter 2 was so full, the Bible says they could not get the paralyzed man, his friends couldn't, to be prayed for by Jesus. What they do is they go ahead and put a hole in the roof and they lower him down on a mat right there in the middle of the room where Jesus Christ is at. We need friends like that. Amen? Folks, the body of Christ, we need sometimes friends to take and put us on a bed and lower us down right in front of Jesus sometimes. That's how low you may get. That's how high God is. And God set that man free. And praise God for that. Jesus Christ is something very provoking, though, very, very, very surprising, very controversial before He healed this man. Let's read now Mark chapter 2, verse 5. Notice what it says here. When Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralytic, notice there, He says there, first of all, He didn't see the paralytic's faith. That paralytic had probably been prayed for time and time and time again with no results. The Bible says Jesus saw the friends, their faith. When He saw their faith, He goes and says to the paralytic, then it moves on and says this, son, your sins are forgiven of you. And that just totally blew away the Pharisees, the Sadducees, those religious people around Him. They said, what in the world is going on here? How can this guy forgive sins? And why did Jesus forgive the man of his sins first before laying hands on him and getting him unparalyzed, getting him set free from paralysis? Why would Christ deal with sins first of all? Well, the Bible says in Scriptures also in the New Testament, says when a demon goes out of a man, it goes out in dry, arid places, and it comes back to the house it came from, and it finds the house all swept and garnished and cleaned and vacuumed. It's a total vacuum. And he brings in himself and seven demons worse than he was with him. I believe what Christ was saying here was, I don't want to say this guy get just delivered only. and leave a great big vacuum inside of his heart. I want this man to get his spirit right first. I want to see this man get born again. I want to see this man's sins forgiven. I want to see this man's dead spirit come alive. I want to see the Spirit of God living in this man. So when I heal him, if that devil comes back again, he will find his house is filled with the Holy Spirit, not vacuumed and cleaned and just totally empty. So he says, first of all, your sins are forgiven of you. Receive the Holy Spirit now in your life as remission of sins has taken place in your heart. And this man then gets prayed for by Jesus and gets healed from paralysis from that moment on. I've known folks in the body of Christ who have died and went to heaven with physical challenges in their bodies, Morris Kluck included. I've seen guys with pains, sometimes arthritis. I've seen folks sometimes with maladies in their kidneys and so forth and so on, and they've died and gone to heaven. But the good news is they lived for Jesus Christ the whole time they lived in their bodies. And the good news is Jesus Christ has now set them free from all the things they went through, and their lives were not full of agony and depression and anger. Their lives are full of peace and joy and happiness in the Holy Spirit. Even though their bodies never did get totally right before they died, they still let the Holy Spirit control their lives, and their lives were fulfilled and happy and joyful and peaceful upon the earth. Mark chapter 2, verse 6 goes on and says this now. Some of the scribes were sitting there and began reasoning in their own hearts and minds, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his own spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven of you, or to say, arise, take up your bed, and walk? But that you may know the Son of Man has power, authority, dunamis on the earth to forgive sins, he then says to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, go to your house. And immediately he arose, takes up his bed, goes out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God and said, we never saw anything like this in our lives. You know, I heard this saying time and time again, that first the natural takes place, then the spiritual. In the natural realm, we're hearing on the news almost every month, I've never seen anything like this. These giant, massive hurricanes, these great big F5 twisters that are so frequent, these big, massive droughts in California, Texas, and so forth, these great earthquakes, these shakings around us. Never seen anything like this before. I'm saying to you guys, in the spiritual realm, God is saying to us, you're going to see things take place you've never seen before upon the earth. I'm believing God for entire towns and cities coming to Jesus in this world in these last days. I'm believing God for demons to get cast out in workplaces, in grocery stores, out there in the streets and highways and byways, to see healings take place, to see blind eyes start opening up, to see AIDS be totally broken off people's bodies and lives in public display, to see Jesus Christ's name mentioned at the Emmys and the Grammys and the Dove Awards, and to see God exalted more and more among false religion people in these last days. Never seen anything like this before. It looks like these witnesses have missed the biggest miracle of all. They missed the miracle of this man asking for forgiveness of his own sins. That is the biggest miracle that a man can ever receive, is Jesus Christ taking sins away from his life. Never forget that. Amen. It's a tremendous miracle, and praise God he's done that for you and me. Last of all, number three is this. Jesus Christ used authority also to give it to other people. I want you to fill in the blanks. Fill in the blanks of this common statement. I'm going to make a statement here. Now fill the blanks in beyond my statement. I'm going to say this. If you want a job done right, what if you said, if you want a job done right and to last, you need to empower others around you. To get a job done right and to last, empower others around you in that job. Is that true? Because the sad thing is, so many folks do great jobs in their generation, but it does not pass on to the next generation. because they never empowered anybody to do what they do. Amen? Authority atrophies when you don't use it. Authority destroys when it's used selfishly. Authority multiplies when it's given away to others around us with God's help. Mark chapter 3 now. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 13 and 15 says this. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and he called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. And then he appointed 12 that they might be with him, he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. If you're a boss, if you're a coach, if you're a teacher, if you're a Sunday school teacher, a youth leader, if you're an usher or deacon leader, whatever you may be in a leadership role in the whole church or the whole world, there is three questions I want to ask this morning. As James is back to the platform now to help me out, please, just to play something. If you're still here, James, if you can come to the front here, please. If you're in any place of authority at all today, as far as a position goes, an office goes of authority, to get the dunamis to be there on a consistent basis in a very, very helpful, beneficial way, ask yourself these three questions this morning. Number one, ask yourself this. Does my leadership remove barriers so that people I lead are free to succeed? Does my leadership remove barriers so folks around me are open to succeed? An example of this is I know in a church one time, long ways away, just a church way out there that's way off somewhere. They had a young youth pastor that came in that was kind of green behind the ears, wet behind the ears. This youth pastor in his own zeal, he wanted to see all the folks show up for leadership meetings and volunteer meetings after church on Sundays. So he made a rule where he said, if anybody does not show up on a Sunday after church in a volunteer called meeting, they will be told to step down for 1 year from service in the church. 1 year. Sit down. You missed one meeting. Well, the sad fact was one lady did not get the email or the text about that and missed the next meeting. And so he confronts her after church, faithful member, been in the church for 5, 6, 7, 8 years, faithful in all ways, and tells her after service, I'm sorry, ma'am, we don't need your help anymore now in youth ministry for one solid year. You need to sit down and just be there in the services in the church. She's crying and bawling, weeping. It causes great rifts in the church. And we had to go, but the folks in the other church way out there somewhere had to kind of help clean that mess up in a very, very sticky type way. Not a very pleasant result takes place from that. And I'm saying we cannot afford to put up barriers for people all the time that are sometimes too high to jump over, because it brings forth sometimes some really bad results in people's lives. And it stifles them, it holds them back. And God is saying, let's take and find ways to tear barriers down, not build barriers up. Amen? Number two, ask yourself this. Do the people that I lead feel safe around me? Do those I lead feel safe around me? Do they walk on eggshells around me? Do they always have a fear I'm going to blow up or snap at them or say some rude remark? Or do they feel safe in my presence? We need to create atmospheres where folks we lead feel safe to share their hearts, to make mistakes, to do some things the wrong way sometimes. Even Jesus Christ himself, the Bible says he sent these two folks out two by two to cast out demons and heal the sick. And the Bible says they came to one guy possessed by a demon that was very, very strong, and they could not cast the demon out. And Jesus Christ did not rebuke them and laugh at them or revile them or embarrass them. They said, why could we not cast the demon out? And Jesus Christ, in a calm, mature, loving way, said right back to them, this kind only comes out by fasting and by prayer. If you'll fast and pray, next time it'll come out. That's what I do. You see him come out when I pray. That's what I do. That's what you'll do also in my name. Jesus Christ let folks make mistakes, but did not beat them down when they made mistakes. Amen? The last thing is, ask yourself this question. Do the people I lead feel empowered with purpose in their lives as well? Am I doing it all myself, or am I sharing the loaves and pieces of bread with folks around me that they might themselves also use their giftings, their callings, their anointings to glorify God in heaven and receive the blessings God gives by exercising the authority God places inside of our hearts and lives. Let's ask ourselves those questions. Let's pray to God that if those questions there can't be answered, yes. Let's make some adjustments perhaps in our lives to take down those barriers, to make folks feel safe around us, and also to exercise authority in a good, balanced way that brings forth folks that are saying to us, I feel empowered, and I feel I have purpose, because the folks that are leading me are giving me opportunities to exercise my faith in Jesus' name. You know, here at Tree of Life Church, we make it easy for many folks here to give messages in tongues, to give prophecies, to share visions, to let the Holy Spirit work through them. May it ever be like that in this place, in Jesus' name. So many folks will not do this now because they're just sensing it somehow, some way, affecting attendance, affecting finances, affecting people's time. But I'm saying we need to ask God to give us a way to do things decently and in order, that it brings forth life and brings forth what God desires in people's lives in services like this to bless them and benefit them. Amen? So right now, again, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed just for a moment, we're not finished yet in the realm of what God was doing here in the first part of the service. I sense what God was saying to me during the time of prayer a few minutes ago. He was saying he wants those, first of all, who took and raised your hands earlier, and you said that there was something you believe that was broken off of your life already today. I want us all right now just to go ahead and just stand up. And I want those folks whose hands were raised up just to go ahead and just come to the front right now. Because what I believe the Holy Spirit said to me was, I want to seal what I began in their lives today by my Spirit. So if you would go ahead and come to the front now, if you had your hand raised up earlier, you sense God broke something off your life today. And I want those that are not going to come to the front here right now to please go ahead and stand up also, if you're able to do that physically, to stand up. Because there is something in your life right now also that God may want to break off of your life this day if you'll let him do that by his Spirit. Two of the things mentioned in the past 5 weeks in our Being Free series was pride and a fear of man. Pride and a fear of man. Many people won't ever answer any altar calls or come to the front of a church like this because it looks embarrassing, it feels embarrassing, it's awkward, it's uncomfortable. Some of our youth today, they use this word all the time. Do not let anything be awkward. Awkward. The Holy Spirit is an expert at making things become awkward. I'm telling you right now, you cannot let the Holy Spirit have his way all the time and not do something that your flesh will not find awkward. It's going to be awkward. Amen? Whenever the Holy Spirit got poured out in Acts, it says these guys are doing awkward things. They look like they're drunk in the middle of the daytime, speaking in new tongues, new languages. These guys are really being awkward. I'm telling you guys right now, if there's a fear of man or a spirit of pride perhaps in your life that God wants to break off your life, will you give that to him today? I'm not saying come to the front and break down crying and weeping and so forth. I'm just saying, just ask the Holy Spirit, show me this day, oh God. Is there some bondage in me that may be pride, it may be religion, it may be a fear of man, it may be self-preservation, it might be fear and bondage in those realms. I want to ask you today to take and be honest with yourself. The Holy Spirit, point those things out to you and say, Father God, I give this now to you this day. And I say, take this bondage from me in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. As I pray for these folks here in the front here to seal what God did in them earlier, I want you guys to pray for yourselves out there as James plays here softly. Others that feel totally set free this day, you see nothing to pray about for yourself or others around you. Just be there in worship. Be there in praise. Be there for a few moments there just giving praise and glory to God. Let the Holy Spirit here have his way among us as we wind this service down in a moment. And let God be God among us, because God's not totally finished yet in this place. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Let's pray one more prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that what you have done today is not complete. As far as the future is concerned, we say add line upon line, add precept on precept. Bring forth, O God, more layers of praise, of worship, of release and freedom, O God. We say, O Lord, also this day, the bondages that we have been freed from, let us now be a catalyst to pray for those around us with similar bondages, that they also may be set free in Jesus' name. What I have received for myself is not just for myself. It also is for those I influence, and I praise you, God. I am a willing, open vessel to be used, O God, for your glory. And I say your authority in me will not atrophy, but it will, O God, be exercised, and faith will grow in me as I exercise and use that faith in Jesus' name. I praise you, God, that you are the one who helps me go through awkward situations and not back down from them, but, O God, in boldness and love. Be, O God, your voice, your hands, your feet, your heart for those who need what's in me by the power of the Spirit in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Praise you, Lord. Praise God. Well, God bless you, folks. I'm going to have Linda come back to the front. If you wouldn't mind, Linda, to dismiss us in prayer in a moment. If you can, come back here Wednesday night for this teaching on Daniel, Heroes of the Bible. You'll enjoy that. Be praying for next Sunday as well. This is the first time that this man, his name is Barry Rayburn's, come to Austin. He'll be in our church and one other church in the future as well. And we're believing, God, that we'll see folks come to Christ. We'll see lives transformed and changed by that ministry as well. But also may God just bless all those of you guys who can come here and stay for VBS meeting after service. It's going to be upstairs, is that right, Cheryl? In the children's church room. Meeting this there as well. God bless you. May God use all you guys this week. We love what God's done today. God's done good things among us. And God's going to do good things beyond this service, because God, when he starts, he completes. And he's always is a thorough, thorough God who loves us. Amen. Bless you, Linda, if you help us out here to dismiss us.
Father, we just thank you for this service today, and we thank you that fear is broken off of people, and bondage, all kinds of bondage, has been broken today. We pray that we walk with this realization every day this week, and we pray that we have a great week of glory in the Lord, Father, in Jesus' name.